Hey folks, and welcome to another episode of the Mountain Bikes Apart podcast. This is the show about equipment, the trail guides and everything in between. And I'm Colin Gray, your normal host, joined by Tom Bell. As always, how are you doing, Tom?
Hi, Colin. Yeah, good, thank you. How's things with you?
Good, not bad at all, not bad at all. Back for another episode. Still continuing on with our listener questions themes. We've got another great question this week. One from Michael Janssen, actually, this time about getting back in shape, actually. We've had some of them. We had a kind of similar one a few months back, but actually there's some good detail in here. So I'm looking forward to getting into that from Michael. But first, let's have a wee update on what you're up to right now. We talked last time around about your last month or so, because we hadn't caught up in a while, had we?
Yeah, we haven't.
Yeah, but what I was interested in now was just what's coming up in the next couple of months? So we're at the end of June just now, mid-season, height of the season for you, I suppose. What's the next month got in store for you right now?
Yeah, so it's got essentially the most important kind of domestic races of the year. So those being, for me, the British Cross Country National Championships. And okay. Then the weekend after that is the Marathon National Championships. So mm-hmm. Got the Cross Country, which is typically an hour and a half, hour 45. And then I think the Marathon might even be up to sort of five and a half hours. Okay. So that'll be quite a test of my endurance, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereabouts are they taking place?
So the Cross Country event is at Cannock Chase in Staffordshire. Mm-hmm. And the Marathon is actually on the Isle of Man.
Ah, cool.
So that'll be the first time that I've headed out there.
Yeah. Are there decent trails out in the Isle of Man, or is it mostly just kind of linked together walking trails?
Yeah, I haven't been, and I keep meaning to sort of have a look and to do a bit of research into what's there. But as far as I know, they've held some really good marathon races there in the past. Actually, I imagine on the same course that we'll be racing on. And one of the athletes that I coach is a cross country racer, and he lives on the Isle of Man. And he's always telling me that there's loads of really good trails, and he doesn't seem to have to go far from his house to find some good forests and nature reserves and stuff like that. So I'm fairly certain there's some good riding on the island.
It's somewhere I've quite fancied heading out to, actually, as well, just to check out the place. And I hadn't thought about taking a mountain bike, to be honest. I just quite enjoy taking a wee trips across to the islands around the UK, and it's one of the more northerly ones, so it's not as huge a drive as the Isle of Wight, which is the last one we visited, which was ridiculous. The full That's length of the way UK way. For us. So yeah, I'd have to get across there sometime. What's your aim for those two then? You've told me before, are you kind of more marathon? You think that's your sort of expertise, or am I getting that wrong?
I think cross country is generally my what I'm best at. I've done a few. I've done a few marathons, and I went to the World Championships last year. I didn't finish that race, unfortunately.
Just you've mentioned them a fair bit, yeah. But it's more cross country is your thing, but the marathons are worth doing because you still get points for them, don't you, for the UCI?
Yeah, exactly. So it's just another. It takes on a lot of the same characteristics of cross country. It's just slightly less intense and just more drawn out. But for all intents and purposes, it's quite similar. I think in terms of my aims, I think for the cross country national champs, definitely a top three is my aim. Mm-hmm. Just try and get as close to first place as possible, and then marathon. If I have a good day, I would definitely be going for the win. Mm-hmm. But it's a bit of an unknown with it being that long, and sometimes you can sort of conk out two and a half hours in, and sometimes you can have a good day and feel fine right to the end. So a bit of a lottery with that one, really.
Are they ones that generally attract foreign riders, or are they quite UK focused?
Yeah, so these ones are only open to UK riders, national championships.
That was a stupid question.
No, it's flipping confusing when there's like national points series and national championships and all this sort of stuff. But yeah, on that same weekend, there'll be, I think basically every country has their national championships. There'll be a lot of races going on that weekend. But just open to the UK just nationals. UK.
So who are your kind of main competitors in right now in the UK racing scene? Who's going to be that top five?
Yeah, so there's quite a few actually. There's obviously our sort of nation's leading riders, Grant Ferguson from Scotland. He's a current national champion. He's on a full World Cup team and British cycling supported and that kind of thing. And there's a few British cyclists, other British cycling supported riders. Most of those are under 23, so they'll probably be in the under 23 race. But yeah, there's quite a few. There's probably six or seven guys that could challenge for that sort of top five, depending on who has a good day, who has a bit of luck on their side, and that kind of thing. Yeah, but Grant is the probably undisputed best sort of cross country rider in the UK. He went to the Olympics to Rio and that kind of thing. So
have you beat him in a race?
I came close to beating him at the World Championships in Andorra. He was having a bad day. It was pretty clear. it was at altitude as well, and it was the end of a kind of long season. But I was ahead of him in the World Cup up in Andorra. Yeah, but my chain snapped before the I think second to last lap or something. Really? So that ended in a DNF, unfortunately. But. And then actually at the last sort of British national race, we're in a group of six or seven for most of the race, and Grant broke away kind of with two laps to go, but we were right behind each other for most of that race, and the last one at Dolby Forest as well was pretty close. So I feel like I'm getting closer.
Excellent. Well, maybe the national championships is your day.
Yeah, with a bit of luck on my side, and if I get the training plan right, and maybe Grant doesn't have so much good luck or something like that, maybe could sneak in there.
Good stuff. Well, good luck with it. Is there a way to follow that one online?
There should be. I'm sure there'll be live updates sort of from British Cycling. Fortunately, it's not televised or anything, but I'm sure there's a live feed somewhere.
Yeah, so maybe the British Cycling website or something. Somebody live tweeting it or live reporting it some way.
Yeah. Cool. I'll dig that out and pop it in the show notes.
Yeah, that'd be good. What date is it again, so people know?
That is the 23rd of July.
Cool, 23rd of July. So if you want to follow Tom racing in the national championships, pop along to. We'll get a link in the show notes if we can find one, which you can find over at mountainbikesapart.com/309 for episode 9 of series 3. All right, let's get on to a question then. I think this is a good one here, and one that I think we've talked about some parts of it, but let's, I'll jump into it and you can see what you think. So this is from Michael Janssen, and he says, I love running in the woods, but can't anymore because of my back. I just took up mountain biking this spring to supplement hiking for enjoyment and exercise. I'm in decent shape now, but still a bit overweight. I haven't changed my diet much. I've been choosing to start with exercise first and then tune my eating. My wife and I have a history of doing unsustainable cleanses and other diets where we lose weight and then gain it back quickly, so I'm being careful with how I change my diet initially. So that history aside, I'm finding that after intense rides, I'm exhausted for a couple of days and I feel like I'm not eating the right things. I know I'm getting enough fat, but not sure about carbs. I'm not looking to lose weight initially. I just want to find a healthy groove where I'm eating what I need to remain active and not unnecessarily stress my body because I'm not eating enough of something. I figured I'll tweak it for weight loss once I get that part under control. Any pointers on what to eat to sustain active mountain biking? So it feels like that's it. That's the question. Thanks very much, Michael, for that. Really good one. So it feels like, Tom, the question, there's a couple of questions here, one of which first is post-ride eating. How do you eat after a ride to make sure you're recovering quick enough that you're not going to be exhausted for days? Maybe just some general, like how you eat regularly just to make sure that you've always got decent energy, you're not up and down a lot. Maybe even some pre-ride as well, just because I'd imagine that's a big, that's not something I know a whole lot about, but I imagine that's a big factor as well in being able to recover quickly. So what about that? Pre and post ride first then. What do you generally go for?
Yeah, so I mean, a lot of people take sort of supplements, recovery supplements and stuff after after an intense ride or a long ride or just any sort of ride to recover.
Yeah.
And generally they're protein focused, just because that they're the kind, you know, the amino acids are kind of the building blocks that repair the muscles and that kind of thing. But you, I mean, they're just for convenience, really. You can get the same protein from normal foods. It's just obviously if you're darting to the office and you've got no time to make a meal or something like that, then some sort of shake is a convenience food. It's not definitely not something that's mandatory. And just having a normal meal will get you the same nutrients and same protein and carbohydrates and everything like that. So I don't tend to use supplements, just because I'm actually a vegan, so I don't eat any meat or any animal products at all. So sort of most of the time the protein shakes are whey based, don't really use those. But I just make sure that as soon as I come in, I have some kind of high glycemic meal that has a fair amount of carbohydrates, because that's the primary fuel that you're using, especially in intense exercise. So that's kind of what you need to replenish, as well as some, you know, some protein. People go mental about protein and think that the more the better, but to be honest, your body's got a fairly limited need for protein. You just need to have enough to sort of facilitate all that muscle repair and everything else. To be honest, simple meals, just like a bowl of cereal, some kind of cereal maybe with a bit of banana or fruit on there, is a great recovery meal that covers all kind of bases of fat, protein and carbohydrates. Something like porridge, for instance, with some banana or something like that, is a good way to go. And then, like I say, a shake maybe if you're really struggling to make some sort of meal.
I tend to go with, after a ride, I quite often come home and have a smoothie. I've just got a little 18 quid, I think it was, quite cheap, a blender, which has got the cup goes on the top. So, you know, the Nutri...
Yeah, the Nutri bullet type thing. I've got one as well.
Well, they cost quite a bit though, don't they? Like 80 quid or something for the official Nutri bullet. But I found one by Kenwood or something like that for 18 quid, which is basically the same thing. Put the cup on the top, so you're just drinking straight out of it. And I stick... just really easy to stick a banana in there, an apple, a carrot, some spinach, some almond milk, and blend that up. And that's actually, I mean, because of the banana and the apple, there's a fair bit of carbs in there. There's a fair bit of sugar in there from the fruit too, but just some, you know, good repair fuel and stuff through the spinach. And I sometimes put in some oats as well, actually, just for a bit of energy.
Definitely.
I find that's maybe, I mean, Michael's question here, Michael, if you're listening, hopefully you're, It sounds like if you're exhausted for days afterwards, you're possibly not getting your carb stores back in, are you? So things like maybe some added oats or the banana as well is great for that, maybe just to sort of recharge that. That always does really well for me. And like you're saying, Tom, just a normal sort of healthy food just should be plenty enough. So I'm wondering, I mean, is there any other reason why somebody would be particularly tired after a long ride? I mean, is there anything like, I don't know, I'm just trying to think, I wonder if he's thinking about sort of post-ride pain and stuff like that as well. Because, I mean, if you get really sore legs and sore back and stuff like that, then that can make you feel tired and weary and stuff like that. But what's the sort of easiest way to get past that if that's someone that's causing it?
Yeah, like you say, Colin, it's a distinction between, because sometimes if you do a really long or really hard ride, no amount of, you know, you could eat everything you're supposed to do and follow all the best practices and you're still going to have sore legs. That's just, you can't sometimes get around that. But sometimes I guess it's maybe just doing too much. So maybe just thinking more in terms of consistency with your riding. So not doing as much on a per day basis, but that will allow you to then do a ride the next day and the next day, which if you can ride, say, an hour to 2 hours every day, that's better than kind of doing 4 hours and then having to take sort of 3 or 4 days off,
absolutely,
kind of thing, in terms of fitness progression and that kind of thing. And then the other thing that maybe that sort of came to mind is whether he's eating enough. So not replacing those calories over the sort of next few days and just falling into too much of a calorie deficit, yeah, then that could definitely leave you feeling tired and not recovering properly.
Yeah. Especially if he's talking about the weight loss aspect as well. And I know, yeah. Michael, you mentioned you're not thinking directly about weight loss right now, but it's maybe a subconscious thing almost that maybe he's not getting quite enough in. There's stuff like if you're wanting to remain healthy with that, like nuts, I always find nuts a really good way to to snack and not like overeat or not eat unhealthy stuff because they feel really filling. Like just a bag of almonds. I go to Lidl and get big bags of almonds because they've got loads of nuts there that don't cost too much. So I've always got them as a wee healthy snack that tends to get some calories in tasty wise as well.
Yeah. That's a good one. And to be honest, I mean, if Michael's thinking about kind of weight loss, it's certainly more about actually focusing on what you're eating rather than the quantities. Because if you're eating, fruits, vegetables, and just healthy foods, you can basically eat as much as you want of that, because you never hear of someone overeating carrots or overeating broccoli or over, yes. I guess if you just focus on fruit, sometimes people might overeat with that. But again, it's all good food and it's all fuel for your body. It's really easy to overeat blocks of chocolate or fatty foods and that kind of thing, but it's quite hard to overeat the stuff that's healthy. So you can essentially eat what you want of that kind of stuff. And so if you focus on actually what you're eating rather than limiting calories of bad foods, because if you're not eating great and then you cut the calories of those, you're essentially just getting less nutrients than you were before, less good stuff than you were getting before. And if you undereat for too long, all you're going to do is your body's going to get used to storing fat better, because it goes, right, we're starving here. We need to get better at storing fat, so that when you then eventually start eating properly again, which you'll have to do because you can't starve yourself indefinitely, then you just put more weight back on. So it's definitely more about focusing on the right foods rather than restricting certain things.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what do you think about the whole fruit question? Because I've done a fair bit of reading on diet and eating and stuff over the last couple of years, and there's a lot of kind of well-respected people that have done research in the area and stuff say that fruit is not half as good for us as, I mean, there's a lot of sugar in fruit. That's basically what it comes down to. There's a lot of fructose in there, and a lot of people claim that actually that outweighs the benefits of the good stuff that's in there, because there's obviously lots of vitamins and stuff like that as well.
What
are your thoughts on it?
My thoughts on it, I eat very, very high carbohydrate and keep fat and protein fairly low,
right?
I eat loads of fruit, and my view on it is that obviously if you just ate table sugar, then you're not getting any sort of nutritional value whatsoever. Yes. Whereas with fruit, you've got the fiber element, which slows down, the absorption of sugar into the blood, and then all the nutrients, like you mentioned, Colin, as well, that come with it. And if you're an active person and you're like Michael is and like we are, then that sugar from fruit is what you can then use to go for an intense ride or do all this exercise. So like I said, it is really hard to overeat fruit. If you just drank gallons of fruit juice, then maybe that's a way to do it. But you never hear of people overeating fruit. Whereas, like, the alternative is to eat, if you've got a set amount of calories to eat and you eat that with fruit, or you don't eat that with fruit, what are you going to sort of replace those calories with? And typically they're going to be high fat foods, I just don't think anyone thinks are particularly healthy.
I totally agree. I think you wouldn't want to only eat fruit, but if you're mixing it in with the way I see it is you've got to have the mix of the colors. That's a good guide. You've got your fruit, but you've also got greens in there, for example, which are really good to get in there. Carrots too, so that's a different color usually. And that's why I talk about the smoothies that I make. I definitely put some spinach in there because I think that helps, and the oats some of the carbs in there helps to slow down the glycemic response from all the sugars from the banana and the cat and the apples and stuff like that. But like you say, the fiber of the apple as well, that helps for that too. So yeah, I mean, I think it all mixes together. The other thing I sometimes put in actually in my smoothies and meals in general is flaxseed, which is really good. I don't know if this might make a difference, Michael, but it helps me, the fact that you're getting your omega-3s in there as well without having to eat loads of fish. And that helps me from a, I don't know, I feel like I've tested it a few times over the last few years, and I feel like when I'm getting my omega-3 in, oily stuff, whether it's oily fish or flaxseed or whatever, I get less pain after a ride. I don't know if it's like, it's supposed to have an effect on your joints and help you sort of stay lubricated almost.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that makes a difference. It seems to help me though.
Yeah, I think, well, like you said as well, Colin, I think the sort of fat element from the flaxseed as well will slow down that glycemic response. So you're not getting hunger pangs all the time. And yeah, the ratio of omega 3 to omega 6, I think, is the most important thing.
Right,
One of them is really easy to get. The other one's pretty difficult to get. So there's that element, that smoothie that you mentioned is basically, I think, sort of textbook recovery food. It has kind of everything you'd need in there, and that's a really good way for maybe Michael or anyone else to recover sort of straight after a ride, you know, within that 30-minute window that they talk about, that where your sort of cells and body's most receptive to getting that sort of nourishment back.
Perfect. Okay, I think that'll do it. Unless you have any final comments or anything, or do you think we've covered it all?
I think that's all right from my perspective.
Just to say as well, I mean, we're neither of us are nutritional experts. Obviously, it's just all going by experience. So worthwhile going out there and having a chat with somebody who actually knows their stuff about this. Especially if you're looking at weight loss and stuff like that, Michael. So make sure you're asking experts, which we are certainly not. We can talk from experience, but this is what works for us, I suppose. It doesn't naturally translate to anyone else. So just to say that as well. But hope that helps, Michael. Hope it gives you some tips anyway, and you can start to feel a bit more energetic constantly and get out on the bike even more often. I feel like as well, once you start eating like that, getting out on the bike regularly, the weight loss stuff will take care of itself. You don't even need to optimize for that, I think, anyway. So
that's what I was going to say. I think they're one in the same. Once you start eating the right foods, you don't have to worry about counting calories or anything like this, and it all falls into place, and it's not something that you have to worry about. I think focusing on weight loss only is quite dangerous, because there's, you know, you could be the thing that everyone says is, you know, you could cut your arm off and that would be the best way to lose weight, but it's not the healthiest or optimal way to do it. So just focusing, and also I sometimes use Tanita scales, so a body fat measurement, so you can make sure that you're not the weight loss, if you do have some weight loss, that it's not kind of coming off of your muscles and it's the fat that's going. So that's another little tip, maybe. Great. To just have some kind of quantitative measure to that weight loss, which might sort of keep you on track a bit more as well.
Perfect. Excellent. Okay, thanks very much. All right, I hope that helped, Michael. Anyone else who's out there, if you're listening, you have a question for us, send it in to colin@mountainbikesapart.com. Email me there. You can also email me any audio files. We'd love to get some voice questions. So record it on your smartphone, voice recorder app. Send it to me via email, colin@mountainbikesapart.com. Or you can send us quick questions to the podcast host, which is me, and Tom is by Tom Bell. Alrighty, well, good luck with those races, Tom. You've got a wee while to the national champs, don't you? But when did you say the marathon was?
It's actually the weekend after that race, so it's 30th of July.
So you've got a few weeks away for them at least. But
I do, a bit of time to get some training in and maybe a bit of local racing as well.
Good stuff. I will hopefully talk to you before those races, then we can catch up again before then.
Yeah, I'm sure we will.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks again for listening. Thanks for your time, and we'll talk to you on the next episode.